Well, one of my friends asked me this morning, what are you going to preach on? And so, yes, let's get that little guy. What are you going to preach on? And so I said, well, I've got two things that I feel like I want to share with the people tonight. And those two things, the one was alive to God, and the other one was the robes of righteousness and the garments of salvation. So this dear friend of mine said, well, you know, that sounds like the one is something that God gives you. It's bestowed upon you, garments of salvation and robes of righteousness. And the other one sounds like the response. What was it? Robes of righteousness, garments of salvation.
Alive to God.
And alive to God. Alive to God. And that's something that you kind of walk out. So, someone smarter than me can think of a title for the message tonight, but let's see how it goes, and then you can write it down on the computer off that for our website's purpose. As I was seeking the Lord, I felt like the words come to me that He was going to show us what salvation clothing looked like. Garments of salvation. And it talks about that in the book of Isaiah. And Isaiah 61. So I think we should go right there. Let's go to Isaiah 61. And thank you, Victoria, for your encouragements and your amens. I'm quite into that. And this is a lovely thing. Isaiah 61, verse 10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God. For He has clothed me with the garments of salvation and covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. Full stop. Sorry, my intonation wasn't great there. As a bride adorns herself with her jewels. So as a bridegroom adorns himself, as a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress. Mark's been talking about identity over the last few weeks, identity from Genesis, and I think it's just a huge thing at the moment, this identity, and you'd see articles about gender fluidity, and you know, Mark's been talking us through Genesis, where we came from, that's part of our identity, the part of the fall, part of being redeemed, that's part of our identity. But when you look at a priest, the Old Testament priest would wear a crown, a golden crown on his head, which would show something. Man, that guy is a priest. And Marshall, just put some robes up on the screen there. All right. Now, if you wear that robe, people will know straight away you are from Star Wars. If you wear that robe, I don't know where you're from. But my point is this. A robe is something that shows identity. If you've got a certain kind of a look about you, you will wear a certain kind of robe. So I'm talking in spiritual metaphors here. But it says that as a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, so there's something related to us being similar to priests in the way God dresses us. In the Old Testament, God would dress, the priests would wear, as I say, a crown. And God says that He sees us as something of priests. So I'm going to go on a little bit to say a little bit more about being priests, because I think that's something that we can so easily lose and forget, that actually I'm not the priest. We are the priests. Why? Because we minister to God and minister to people. That's what a priest does. He ministers to God and he ministers to people. So I want to tell you, dear people, you are a priest. You are a priest of God. God has clothed you with garments of salvation. He's given you a robe of righteousness. A robe of righteousness, in the New Testament, we see it like this. It says, he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. What on earth does that mean, you might ask? Well, this is what happens. We come to Jesus with tattered robes and dirty clothes. He went to the cross for us so that he could bear our sin and clothe us with his righteousness. I know this is basic stuff, but this is champion stuff. My friends, if you are in Jesus tonight, you are wearing a glorious robe of righteousness. Amen. Amen. And it says that it's something that God dresses us. It says, he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. There's different garments of salvation. There's garments of peace. There's garments of joy. There's garments which just attract people to Jesus because of the spiritual garments that you're wearing, and covered you with a robe of righteousness. So let us, there's my water. Let us move on. If you're in Jesus, God has given you jewels. It says, as a bride adorns herself with her jewels, God has given special gifts through the Spirit of Jesus. He has given you things. And it's something that we need to actually, it's like that's what God has done. Now, there's something that we have to do. And this is it. We've got to rejoice. Thank you, Victoria. We've got to rejoice, dear friends. I'm not going to be callous and say, I don't care what you're going through. But the point is this, is that God has saved us and given us gifts. And in Isaiah 61, it says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God because he's clothed me. So there is something that God has done for us. It's a free gift, but there's a responsibility on our part to rejoice. Amen? God says he has clothed. It says in Psalm 149, the Lord takes delight in his people. He crowns the humble with salvation. The word salvation is quite a broad term, and it means to rescue, it means to deliver from sickness, it means to save from danger. And God says of the humble who will come to him and receive his righteousness and receive the garments that he gives, and he clothes the humble with salvation. It says shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. And in fact, another way to interpret that Psalm 149, the Lord takes delight in his people. He crowns the humble with victory. So I want us to fix our eyes on Jesus tonight and rejoice in what he's done for us, and watch him crown us with victory, and watch him allow us to walk in victory. Amen. Amen. Come on. In James, it said, God opposes the proud. Who wants to be opposed by God? No, not Jay. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. This is a beautiful thing. And, sometimes we just have to receive in faith and believe what God has actually done for us and respond appropriately. And my entire message is, let's respond appropriately to God in rejoicing in him. in rejoicing in our trials, in rejoicing in our uncertain future, in rejoicing in our relational struggles, let's rejoice in Him. He has loved us with an everlasting love. He will not forsake us. He will not abandon us. And He is for us. And it's a beautiful thing here. If we keep reading, it says, in fact, if we reverse a little bit in Isaiah 61, you know, to grant those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning. Now, in the Old Testament, oil was poured out onto people for two purposes I can think of. And the one was to anoint a king. If a king was being put into office, they would take the oil, pour the oil, and he would be put into office and given the authority to reign as a king. The other thing that you would be anointed for was to be a priest. Again, this scripture talks about us being priests. We have been anointed, and I want to give you this identity tonight. You have been anointed as a priest of God, to do what, you might ask? Well, first of all, it's the oil of joy. God has anointed you with the oil of joy. That means He has anointed you and put you in a position of authority to have joy. You need to respond and say, yes, I'm going to rejoice in the God of my salvation. And a garment of praise. Oh. A garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair, or a spirit of heaviness, or another translation says, a fainting spirit. In other words, a spirit that just says, it's just too much. I just don't know what to do. And I'm not, if you are in that place, or if you've been in that place, there's no condemnation, because I've been in that place. I just don't know what to do. Not, I don't know what to do, but God is in charge of my life. And He is for me. And I'm His child. So God has positioned us and given us, He's given us the oil of joy. And this is a wonderful thing. I'm going to keep reading from Isaiah. And, you know, I'm relating this to us. Even though when Jesus stood up, he read Isaiah 61. He said, today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. But friends, in Acts it says that this is, Acts 1, it says, this is about Jesus and all He began to do and teach. Now, there are unfinished works of Jesus on the planet Earth. He began it. We are going to fulfill it. Why? Because we have been anointed as priests to minister to people and to minister to God. How? Oil of joy. Robes of salvation. Robes of righteousness. Amen. Okay, good stuff. Jesus said, He has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor, to proclaim liberty to the captives, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Friends, this is the year of the Lord's favor. This is favor time. This is when we are able to proclaim liberty to captives and say, you can be free of your sin because of what Jesus has done for you. And I love this part, team. I just love this part. They, that's us, they shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. This is your ministry. This is your identity. Do you feel like it? Probably not. Is that an issue? No. You need to respond, though, in faith. And say, yes, God, I'm going to rejoice in this, my salvation. Because you've called me to be a rebuilder of people's lives. You've called me to build up the ancient ruins. The ruins of people's lives that have been devastated for generations. I'm going to rebuild those ruins. How? Because you've decked me like a priest. You've given me these sparkling jewels, gifts of the Holy Spirit to rebuild, to renew, to restore, and not to recycle. Now, what was to recycle?
The bottle.
Okay. I'm not against recycling. Oh, you know what? Man, I meant to ask, where's that phone of mine? Oh, I'm going to have to sing it for you. Back pocket. No, that's actually, yeah. You know, there's a song, okay? Now, the Lord spoke to me with this song. And you're going to love it. I just know Tegan is going to love this song. It's a song by these like four cute guys. Is it four or five? And it goes, "You don't know you're beautiful. Doo-doo. That's what makes you beautiful. Doo-doo." Okay. You know the one? Okay. It's One Direction. But I almost feel like this is what God says. You don't know how beautiful you are. Why? Because He has robed you with the garment of salvation, robes of righteousness. Like a bridegroom decks himself, like a priest, like a bride adorns herself with her jewels. So the sovereign Lord has done that for you, and you will rebuild and you will restore. And God has anointed you with the oil of joy. Amen. Amen. Sorry, I didn't have the media clip for that.
Oh, it was better.
It was better. Was I better? All right. Now, I want to read from Deuteronomy because I feel like this is what God said to me the other day. He said to me, "You have been long enough at this mountain. You have been long enough at this mountain of despair. You have been long enough at this mountain of sorrow. You have been long enough. Turn and set your face to somewhere. Turn and take your journey and go to the hill country." God's telling his people, "I'm going to send you in to get your inheritance." Oh, but there's giants there. Oh, but I don't know what to do there. Oh, but I don't have what it takes. Oh. Uh-uh. You have been long enough at this mountain. Turn. Set your face. Set your direction. God is going to do it. Man, I feel the same. I know there's some things that just seem like giants, just seem like mountains. I do not know how God is going to come through. I don't know. But He says, rejoice, set your face, turn, set your direction. God's going to do it. He's going to take you into your inheritance. This is such a lack of thing, and it's not burdensome to serve Jesus. Why? I'll tell you why. Because the kingdom of God is what God has planned for us. The kingdom of God is about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And this is not burdensome. This is a delight. But dear friends, I want to tell you something. And I would, if I was in America, use a word that starts with a C. But it's not really polite to say it in South Africa. So I'm not going to say it. Turn from your rubbish. If you're sending it up, turn, guys. Turn. Turn to God. The scriptures say, well, the scriptures don't say this, but I say, that was close. That would have been beat. This is what sin is like, okay? Okay, this is what sin is like. Now, what am I talking about sin? Listen, if you are watching porn, if you are sleeping with your girlfriend or your boyfriend, or doing things with them that you shouldn't be doing, if they're not your wife or your husband, okay? Not your wife, not your husband, you shouldn't be doing that. You need a turn. And it's like, this is what that sin is like. It's like chocolate-coated vomit. It tastes lacquer at the time, but man, it's going to make you sick and die. Just turn from that stuff. Turn. Set your face. God's got a purpose for you. God's got a plan for you, and it's not burdensome. Now, so self-reliance. We're going to set our journey heavenward. I don't know why I wanted this. Should I do this? Should I not? Okay, check this out. This is my new phone, okay? Okay, Google. Navigate me to heaven. Okay, Google. Navigate me to heaven on earth. See, Google can't do it. Google can't navigate you to live a life that brings the kingdom of heaven onto earth. Google can't do it. Who can do it? Yes. It's us walking by the Spirit of God. What does that mean? It's us walking empowered by the Holy Spirit who has been given. He is a gift. You can't work for Him. You can't pay for Him. He is a gift given to you who believe in Jesus. You can't earn a gift. If you have to earn a gift, it's not a gift. It's a salary. Duh. Okay. The Holy Spirit is a gift who has been given to enable us to walk like Jesus, to walk with God, and to do the works that God calls us to do. So this is what I'm asking you to set your mind to, because Romans 8 says, set your mind on the things of the Spirit. It's like you kind of set your Google map internally. I'm going to please the Spirit, and I'm going to be walking by the Spirit. It's a mindset. This is what I was looking for. A mindset on the Spirit is life and peace, but the mindset on the flesh is death. Let's have our mind set on pleasing the Spirit and set on letting the Holy Spirit empower us. How does that all work? Okay, I'm going to tell you a little bit more about that. Should I tell you about children of wrath? No, let's move on to Romans 6. Okay. I wonder if this is part two of my message. Okay, here we go. Living a life as a priest, clothed in righteousness, being brought to walk with Jesus. Yeah. Romans 6, verse 3. Do you not know? Now, when the Bible says, do you not know? I reckon it's something you should know. It's something you really need to know. But you probably don't know. So, it says, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Now, baptized into Christ Jesus, I believe, and Michael Eaton backs me up. Okay, I heard Michael Eaton say this. Being baptized into Jesus doesn't necessarily mean you went into the water and came out and you were baptized in water. If you believe in Jesus that He died for your sins, you need to get baptized into water as a picture of what Jesus has done in your life. And what's He done? If you have been baptized, if you have been immersed into Jesus, baptized means dipped into. It means plunged into. It means immersed into. If you have been put into, that's a better word. If you have been put into Jesus, who put you in there? The Holy Spirit put you in there. If you have been put into Jesus, these 44-year-old eyes of mine, come on. Sha-ba-ba, sha-ba-ba. If you have been put into Jesus, do you not know you were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into His death? We were buried, therefore, with Him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk. And when it says we too might walk, it means we too might walk out our Christian lives in newness of life. This is a beautiful thing. The newness of life. You know, I had my car done. I had like three trips to the motor mechanic this week. I mean, in the last 2 weeks. It wasn't pretty, okay? And my mechanic, he's a brilliant guy, okay? I mean, he does a great job on the cars. And he's obviously from the language that he uses, and I don't think he knows. I don't think he knows. In fact, I'm sure he'll tell you he doesn't really believe in God. Except, this is what he said to me. Talking about, we got talking about boreholes and well points. And he said, you know, it's amazing. I had this old well point in my house, and just dig down 10 to 15 meters, and there you go. I've got water. I pump it out, and I've got water for my whole garden. Then we got talking about the Newlands, you know that Newlands
spring.
Woo-hoo-hoo! The Newlands spring. You know what he said to me? There must be a God. He said, there must be a God. Because you know why? He was seeing this unusual sight of water coming out of nowhere. Just coming, it's just like, that thing just flows day and night. Even if there's people there collecting it, or if there's no one there, it just flows into the ground. People there connecting. My friends, this is what the Christian life is like. It's grace. We can't earn. We just come and get. We come and receive, and we respond appropriately. So this is this newness of life. There is a river of life. It's flowing from the throne of God. Right now there's a river flowing. Right now there's a spring in Newlands that's pouring out. Right now there's a river of God flowing. And this river brings, you know, when Jesus said, I will give you eternal life. You know, he was talking about lively, living. In fact, he says, you know, the living waters. He was talking about not stagnant pools, but living waters. This is a life that we might, it says that you might walk. There's a potential now that you will possibly walk in newness of life. Why? Because you were buried. You were immersed into Jesus in his death. Your sin went onto him on the cross. And when you were raised to life, through the glory of, when he was raised to life, you were raised to life. Why? Because you were somehow by the Holy Spirit, you were placed in him. Your death, his death, was your death. And it was a death to sin. And the life that he was raised to is a life you were raised with him. And now you have this capacity, this ability to walk in this newness of life, where you get to experience the crystal clear, refreshing rivers of God, which brings what? It brings liberty. It brings freedom from sin. It brings freedom from bondage. It brings healing of physical diseases, healing of sicknesses, healing of depression. That's what newness of life brings. And the scriptures say in the book of Revelation that there's a river flowing from the throne of God. And on that river, there are planted trees. And the leaves of the trees are for the healing of the nations. So getting back to the identity, you are priests, children of God, and you are the leaves for the healing of the nations. This is your job. Heal the nations. Amen. Amen. So, where are we? Maybe we should keep moving on. 4. This is now Romans 6. 4. If we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. United with him in a death like his. United with him in a resurrection like his. What does that actually mean? Well, it means that you identify with his death as being for you. And you identify with his resurrection being for you. You've been raised to life. You have the capacity to live in God. You went to death. He went to death for you. And he's been raised for you. You identify with him. Now, this is awesome. This goes on. It gets better. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin, this body where sin lives, might be brought to nothing, might be rendered powerless, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. The reason why we were... Let me keep going. We would no longer be enslaved to sin, for the one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So, you must also consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Now, it's not good if God says, consider yourself dead to sin. That means calculate, compute it, think about it. The part of you that was alive to sin has died. How? Somehow, by the Spirit, you were united with Jesus in his death. And God raised you up, and you are now united with him in his life. Calculate it and think about it and consider yourselves dead to sin. I don't think it's good to say, and maybe my other brothers will, and you can't hear this. This is one emphasis of the gospel, and you can't hear this every week because there is another side where we flee the youthful desires of our youth, and you know we resist temptations, etc. But this, there is this truth here where it says, consider yourselves dead to sin. Means you must say in your head, because you're considering, I actually am not bound by sin anymore. I'm actually, its power to come and put its teeth into me and to keep pulling me back into a bad habit, I'm actually not alive to that anymore. I'm dead to that. You see, I want to empower you in your identity as new creatures, new creations. And the scripture said, consider yourself dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ. So, I kind of hope you're catching the logic here. But I think the bottom line is, if God says you must think about yourself that you're dead to sin, then you must think about yourself as dead to sin. So you're not a slave to sin. You're not a slave to sin. You're not a slave to fear. I love that passage in Romans 8 where it says that you have been set free from fear and you have now become a child of God. Beautiful. You're a child of God. That's your identity. If you've put your trust in what Jesus did for you on the cross, you have become a child of God, dearly loved, loved by him. Sin is not your master anymore. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies to make you obey its passions. So there is something you have to do here. Just don't let it reign. Do not present your members, your body parts, to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will no longer have dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. Now that's a whole message, not under law, but under grace. That means, basically, in a nutshell, you are not under the power of the law, or you're not like a Jewish person in the Old Testament. You were under the law. You had to obey the law to get right with God. But you are not. You are under grace. And under grace means Jesus is the one who has lifted you up out of your sin, made you alive, and seated you with Him in the heavenly places. So this is a wonderful thing. You, dear Christian, are alive to God. God has made you alive to Himself. You're not... It's a beautiful thing. Champion, thank you. So I love that. I love that scripture which says, not a scripture. I love that song which says, "We come alive in the river." Beautiful, because that's what God has done. And I'm using pictures of the wells of God welling up. It says salvation springs up, and the wells of salvation. It's like an unnatural thing. This is like water. You don't have to pump it. It just comes out the wall. There's wells of salvation and wells of eternal life, which we get to drink of and partake of. Why? Because we're in Jesus. We're alive to God. And Psalm 32, verse 6 says, You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts or with songs of deliverance. You want to see the salvation of God in your life. You want to see the rescue of God. You want to see depression leaving you. You want to see life. You're surrounded with songs of deliverance, and sometimes those songs need to come from your own mouth. Amen. You need to sing. You need to sing it out and rejoice and exalt in God. And that's part of the garment of salvation. So, how are we doing for time? Are we solid? Friends, the life of God is so fresh. It's so clear. And it's so free, because Jesus was struck for us that we could be redeemed and rescued. And garments of praise. In Hebrews 13, verse 15, it says, "Therefore, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise." Remember, we're priests. We get to offer up sacrifice of praise. We've been clothed with the oil of joy. We get to offer up sacrifices of praise. 1 Peter 2, I think verse 10, says, "You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the excellencies." You praise Him. You declare the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness and into His wonderful light. My friends, God has rescued us by His Son dying on a cross for our sins, so that we could be free of sin and forgiven and become children of God. God calls you and anoints you to praise Him and rejoice in Him, to declare it with your mouth so your own ears can hear. So I think maybe what I'm giving you is handles for life here. What do you think? Okay. My friend, dear friend, dear believer, if you are in Jesus, you have a responsibility and a privilege to praise Him and to let your mouth and let your own ears hear you praising the Lord. Now, I'm going to give you, and you're going to love it. I'm going to get up here. This is another way which you declare the praises of God. It's this amazing thing, it's called dancing. Okay, dancing is this interesting thing that we humans do, to quote Tanya TVA. This is an amazing thing that God has given us humans to do, is dancing, okay? Now, there's different cultures of dancing, but basically dancing is moving your feet and moving your body to a beat, okay? Now, it's not actually too hard, or it's not like brain surgery, but, you know, it's called dancing, and it's part of our response to what God has done for us. And you know what it does? Breaks a heavy yoke. Woo! Dancing breaks a heavy yoke. Dancing, you'll actually find chains on your own life being broken off as you start to dance and rejoice before God. Why? Because He's clothed you with garments of salvation, robes of righteousness, anointed you to praise, surrounded you with songs of deliverance, anointed you with the oil of joy. Woo! Woo-hoo! Okay, so that's a responsibility. I don't know if that's a good word to even use, because it's not a, it's a privilege. It's a good word. That is a responsibility for you, dear priest of the Lord, to bring deliverance in your own life and bring deliverance to people around you, to rebuild, to restore. Amen. Now, here's another beauty. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You give thanks in all circumstances. That's part of your responsibility and your response to being God's child. Why do you think, you know, it wouldn't say that unless there was actually tough things happen. Well, sometimes life is tough. Sometimes your past is tough, being tough. But God's got a plan. God is on your side. God delights in the praise of His people. And I think it might be appropriate for us to sing a little song. What do you think, Grunge?